Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And all God's people shouted. Man, that is good stuff, isn't it? You may have had a bad day. The car maybe didn't start. Maybe you spilled your coffee. Maybe someone didn't say hi to you in the parking lot this morning. I got great news for you. Jesus Christ died for you that you might live.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, so many people in our world today are striving to acquire that seemingly elusive word called peace. What is peace? What does peace mean to you? What does peace mean to our culture? But most importantly, what is peace according to what God's word has to say? Jesus said these potent words in John 16:33 when he said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," this is Jesus speaking, "you may have peace." And then he goes on to say something that just rubs our flesh raw. He says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, because I, Jesus, have overcome the world." Are you looking for peace today? Right there's the answer. The only way that you will truly have peace is that if you've been found in Jesus and him alone, through his righteousness alone. And so I pray right now you'll take your Bible as we open God's Word together. Let's dive deep into the Scriptures today, and let's challenge one another as we read God's Word that if we really want to have the peace of God, we have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take that Bible right now and let's turn to Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 1, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, "Do I Have Peace with God?"
Father, I ask that you would speak in a mighty way. Set my heart and my mind and my mouth towards you. Fill my heart, fill my mind, fill my mouth right now with your words, that I pray that whatever comes out of my mouth right now would be straight from you. Father, I pray we'd become a people that is so eager to win the lost at any cost that we would be willing to go do what's necessary, to ring the bell. And so, Father, we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do this morning. I believe you're going to do something special this morning. So I pray as we get out of the way and stay out of the way, that we would just simply fall at the feet of our true senior pastor, whose name is Jesus Christ. That we'd worship him and we'd cry out, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who has risen." And Father, to him and to him only, the only way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we already read through the responsive reading, the text we're going to be looking at this morning, but take your Bible, I pray you bring your Bible, not only bring your Bible, but have a notepad, have a pen, have a pencil. You know that we're going to run hard after God and His Word. We are serious about the Word of God. People say, "Well, why are you so serious about the Word of God?" Because the Word of God is what's transformed my heart. Let me just communicate two pivotal mission-critical points to you. And I pray you listen very closely to what I'm going to say next. There is not a political party on this planet that can bring the dire reformation that the United States of America needs. The only way that we will have reformation is if we fall on our face before the great God of the Bible and repent from our sin. Secondly, do you understand this deep biblical truth? that Jesus Christ and the path through Christ and the path of Christ still is and forever will be the only path to freedom from self. People are so up in arms, and I understand, I get it. But let's not get too focused on man right now. Let's focus on the sovereign gods. Let's focus on God and let's just praise His name and glorify His name, knowing that for such a time as this, He's allowing things to unfold how they are. We may not like Him, but we know this. We serve the great God of the Bible, and He's worthy to be praised. Therefore, this dovetails beautifully into our message this morning, because I want you to write down the title. I want you to write this down right now. Every person, I want to write this down. Grab something to write with. Write the title of this message down. It's a question to me. It's a question to you. And it simply is this. Do I have peace with God? Now, you notice I did not say, do I have the peace of God? There's a big difference between the two. No, can I truly say this morning that do I have the peace that's with God? Think through that for just a moment. It's a pivotal question that we must answer this morning, because understand this, that so many people are still looking for a Savior to save our country. The Messiah already came 2,000 years ago. And yet here in Romans chapter 5, look at the Word of God and what it says as we unpack it together right now. Romans chapter 5, it says this in God's holy Word. Therefore, very key, therefore, in light of what was just said in all of chapter 4, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And all God's people shouted. Amen. Man, that is good stuff, isn't it? You may have had a bad day. The car maybe didn't start. Maybe you spilled your coffee. Maybe someone didn't say hi to you in the parking lot this morning. I got great news for you. Jesus Christ died for you that you might live. Amen. It's amazing what recalibrates our happy meter, isn't it? Does anyone else besides me have a happy meter? It goes up and down, right? When does it go up and down? It's based on what? It's not based on what my Savior did. It's based on my circumstances. That's why we need to trade in our happy meter for a content meter. See, if you and I will never be content where God already has us, how in the world will we ever be content where we lead ourselves? It doesn't make any logical sense, let alone biblical sense. See, God does not see as man sees. If I'm operating in the flesh and what I think and what I see, I'm going to drive off spiritual cliffs all day long. See, God doesn't see as man sees. For man looks at the outward. But God looks at the heart. See, that's why the most pivotal question you will answer today and forevermore is not where am I going to live, what car can I buy, what house can I attain, how much money I can get, will I marry the right person. The most pivotal question you will ever address in your life is, do I have peace with God? Because if you do not have peace with God, you're missing everything. But the flip side is equally true. If you have peace with God, oh my goodness, you have everything. What does this verse mean in 5:1? Let's unpack it together. Therefore, what do we always ask when we see the word therefore? We always ask, what is it there for, right? Chapter 4, Paul's writing, Abraham, justification. By the way, the whole book of Romans is simply just the grace of God. And Paul wrote there to that church in Rome, and he's pouring deep truth in them to show them that, yes, that you can be justified, that God does the justifying, that it's based on Christ, not you. It's based on what Christ did on your behalf. Isn't that freeing? Isn't it so awesome to know that we can never do enough to please God? But it's freeing, isn't it? Some people go, wait a minute, then that means we can go partay. No, that's not what that means. If your life has really been transformed by the blood of the cross and through the empty tomb, you want to live for Jesus. I mean, you want to die to self. I mean, we get to go win the neighborhood. We get to go win Tampa. We get to go make a difference. We get to go leave a legacy. Don't you want to live to be missed? But unfortunately, we have this casual Christianity mindset that has inundated the American church. And it's high time we repent. See, therefore, what is it therefore? You have been what? Justified by faith. What does the word justified or justification even mean? When you look at it from the original Greek language, you see this. It's a legal term that means declared righteous. It means literally that you are acquitted of all guilt. Think through this for just a moment. No matter how bad your life may be today, and I don't want to minimize what pain you might be going through. You may be in some deep pain today. There may be major relationship issues in your family. There could be great financial calamity on your horizon. There could be great just doubt, and you're wondering, how could that person hurt me like they've done? How could they do that? Shift your eyes and your heart and your mind from the situation and the circumstance and get on the content meter and look into the eyes of your Savior and know this, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, when God looks at you and you're under the blood, He does not see you. He sees the blood, and therefore you are as white as snow. I mean, that's just glorious. I mean, what more could you want today than to know that the great God of the universe, when He looks at you, He looks at the Son that, yes, He delivered up in your place that you might live. Man, that's a hallelujah moment, isn't it? I mean, you picture kind of the legal term, and I picture a courtroom. So many people right now, and I get it, and I understand it, I know what's going on, and I'm following the election and all this, and everyone's wondering what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. You know what we need to start doing? We need to start worrying about what's going on in God's court. I mean, you understand that God, He loves us so much, and yes, He has grace and mercy, but Romans even tells us there in chapter 1 and following that the wrath of God is being stored up for the day to come. That His wrath is going to go forth like a fury, like nothing that you could ever, ever in your mind's eye even imagine. And yet what happens for you and I, the justified sinner, is that Christ's blood was more than enough, and there's protection under that. Therefore, when He looks at us through the blood of Christ, the gavel goes down. Not guilty. Even though I know who I really am pre-Christ. But as Paul stated, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing onwards. Forgetting what's behind, learning from the past, not repeating the past, not repeating the sin, but pressing onward to the high call, the upward call of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what Tampa needs. Tampa does not need more entertainment. Tampa does not need more performances. Tampa does not need more nonsense out there to make people feel good. What Tampa needs is the message of the gospel to go forth in all that we do. That's why we exist. We exist so that we will decrease, that He will increase. As His name and as He is high and lifted up, He will draw men unto Himself.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Justification, justified. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you understand the enormity of what happens? We are justified by faith and that we're declared not guilty based on nothing we do. I mean, we are hidden. We are protected. We are delivered by the Passover blood of Jesus Christ that has been forever etched and seared onto the doorpost of our hearts. Key number one, write this down in your notes. Key number one. If I desire peace with God, I first must be justified by God by faith. So many people, again, are looking for peace. We could go out onto the streets of Tampa today and we could do surveys, go around the clipboards and ask questions. What are you looking for and what are you looking for? You know, people would give answers. They would say a new house or a new car or the mate or whatever they're looking for. But what they are really saying is they want peace. You will never have the peace you are looking for unless you first have peace with God. The peace of God. Listen, the peace of God comes after having peace with God. Having peace with God now has a byproduct of having peace of God. The peace of God comes after peace with God, not the other way around. That's why this is so pivotal as we think through this. Because do you understand that when God looks at the justified sinner, not a portion of His wrath, but all of His wrath was totally and completely satisfied by the sin-obliterating blood of Christ. There weren't any loose ends in this deal. Jesus did not go to the cross, and that's like, oops, forgot to accomplish that part of the plan. No, He completely, do you understand this, church family? Please hear the word of God today, that when you are truly justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, there has been nothing that has been left undone. When you study this from the Greek context here in the New Testament, you see this, that this is a one-time event, that you have been justified. Sanctification is an ongoing process in the believer's life, amen? It means, in the Greek, it means this, to be constantly changing. Being justified, we were declared righteous, declared not guilty at the cross of Jesus Christ through the empty tomb. Having been, past tense, one-time event, don't convolute that. Jesus accomplished what needed to be accomplished, and it was done. Therefore, what does that do for you and I, the believer, today? The evil one, man, he will have self-doubt. Isn't he the greatest? He's the greatest at just laying landmines called self-doubt, isn't he? He just lays them out there all day long, doesn't he? Man, you know what you've done. Man, if those people down at the church house, if they find out, ooh, boy, that's going to be ugly. And he's planting this doubt and that seed of doubt and this doubt and that doubt. And here we go over here. Do you understand this? That when you are under the blood of Jesus Christ and you are now justified, that not only did his justification on the cross take one time and one place to accomplish that, but when he truly redeemed you, you are sealed. Listen from Scripture. You are sealed for the day of redemption. That's good stuff, isn't it? I mean, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for peace, therefore, having been justified, having been declared righteous, pronounced not guilty, by whom? By God's. God gave his only Son through that faith in Jesus Christ that we might live, and God the judge says, not guilty. That's a hallelujah moment that we must cling to. Write these verses down, church family. You're going to need these verses this week. Supporting verses. 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Listen to what Paul writes there to that church in Corinth. Which again, do we remember about the church in Corinth? I mean, that was a church that had some problems, didn't it? It's like I've said before. I mean, when you got a bunch of temple prostitutes hanging around, there's some issues. That's not a positive sign, by the way. And so Paul is pouring into this church saying, man, you guys are just debased. And you look at 1 Corinthians, and just over and over, Paul's pouring truth in them, trying to lovingly bring them back to truth, to doctrine, to substance. And here's what he says in 6:11, and such were some of you. Do you understand this? That when you're justified, man, the old is gone. That old man, that old woman that keeps trying to rear their ugly head in your life, you need to take them out and just beat them, so to speak, right? I mean, we need to get rid of that old man, that old woman. That's no longer us anymore. You need to get rid of that. Don't allow that to come in your life anymore. And such were some of you. Here it is. But you were, I love this, but you were washed. But you were, here it is, sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, when we come to Christ, it does not mean that we're not going to have bad days. That we're going to have some bad ones, aren't we? We're in these bodies of death. Paul even said, why do I do the things I don't want to do? But if we are habitually living in sin, we better go back and check our salvation. Because the Bible is very clear that when you are truly in Christ, even though there can be some days of struggle, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Colossians tells us this, that literally we've put off the old man and put on the new. When you study that in the Greek, here's what that means. That putting off, literally in the Greek language, talks about taking clothing and taking off the clothing and putting on new. Understand it from this mental context. Dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne. For the new creation in Christ, you are dressed in Christ. That's great news, isn't it? I pray that that fills your heart and mind today with joy. Titus 3:7, write this down. Titus 3:7. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you catch this? Some of you here today, man, you're holding out that you're going to get some great inheritance. And if you're like in the same position that my kids are going to be in, stop hoping, amen? You know what I mean? I tell my kids and my family all the time, your treasure's in heaven. Do you understand this, church family? Listen. Because of the imputing blood of the only one that could propitiate and satisfy the wrath of God, that as that great imputation, if you will, took place, as we gave Christ our sin and our shame and our baggage and our guilt and all the mistakes and all the things that went on in our life pre-Him, that He goes, here, let's make a swap. I take all that garbage and you take my righteousness. Do you understand that because of that deep biblical truth that you are now heir to the greatest inheritance that you could ever have? There's no amount of money that you can have that will give you the inheritance that's only found in Christ. So what should that do for us? I mean, it should completely rock our world and just turn everything upside down. Now we just don't read what Paul said, that it's no longer I but Christ, but we begin to start living it. That we know that this moment is brief, that we're here. I mean, it's brief. It's like a vapor. And it's, what are you doing here now that's going to count for eternity? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and to go make a difference in your neighborhood? Are you willing to go just win those lost at any cost? That's what God wants from us through His Son, Christ Jesus. That it's no longer I, but Christ.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.